Welcome to the IT Modernization Month, sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton. Now here's your host, Tom Temin.
An agency that certifies, regulates, and evaluates probably half of what goes into Americans' mouths. The Food and Drug Administration generates a lot of data. For several years, FDA has been on a drive to modernize its systems and become more adept at using data. Joining me with an update, Deputy Chief Information Officer Brad Wintermute. And Mr. Wintermute, good to have you on.
Good to be with you today.
So give us a sense of, I guess, the state or the climate of the systems at FDA now. I know a few years ago, everything was obsolete. I think that's fair to say you've made a lot of progress in the last couple of years, though.
Yeah, we really have. This started, our initiation of modernization started in earnest in 2009 and 10, where we built out the new data centers and really focused on modernizing the infrastructure of the organization. We've done a considerable amount of work there in the past now. That would be, 7 years or so, kind of progressively improving things through the data center optimization initiative to, really heavily virtualize the environment that allows us to have better uptime, better power metrics, et cetera, overall. And I think that's helping us be able to get the right compute capability when we need it for the folks that are doing the business of the FDA.
Give us a sense of the data stores that you have in terms of just sheer volume. I mean, is it fair to say it's petabytes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Petabytes in, and it's growing on a pretty steep ramp, if you will. There's been a lot of advances in data analytics and really in data generation. So if you think about things like genomic sequencing or ability to basically take DNA and turn it into ones and zeros and then use that for computational analysis, that ends up creating large data sets, and we use those heavily. And so that has ended up, really driving our use of storage over the past few years. Plus, we're an agency that likes to hold on to everything in case we need to go back and reference it. And so that certainly adds to the challenge also.
I guess in many ways, your applications are related to the way science goes about things. I mean, it's a scientific agency in many ways and evaluating data and looking at experiments. For a data center to be optimized for that type of work and the data volumes that you have, what does a data center these days look like? I mean, what are the qualities of a data center that is modern and optimized for the kind of work the FDA does?
Well, we almost have two different paths. You have the scientific path that really needs a heavy parallel processing capability. We call it a high-performance computing. That's for doing the genomic sequencing I was mentioning, heavy-duty data analytics and querying, if you like, if that's analytics. But really processing those larger sets of data takes a lot of parallel machines. So that's ability to have that turn up when you need 100 or you need 1,000 or you need 10,000 machines. That's one capability. From a business flow process, though, for like a drug review process, requires a workflow that happens so that it goes from step A to step B to step C. And during that process, there's a lot of interaction that happens with pulling up various documents from clinical trial information that needs to be reviewed or other type of, analytical type of data. So we end up with specialized machinery that will handle the heavy parallel, the HPC stuff. We've got some, equipment that's kind of optimized for that and has a type of architecture that helps, make sure that process as well. And then on the business side, to handle just a general business workflow type thing, and then being able to pull up the right type of files, if you will, and the size of those files requires a great network, a high-speed network, that high bandwidth to be able to pull the data through to get it onto the screen of the individual, get that information to them in real time as fast as possible, and then horsepower behind that through the CPUs, et cetera, the servers that we're using. And there, because we virtualized, we've also moved into more of a converged architecture. There's a convergence between networking and processing, getting them what we call convergence, really within one rack. You can have all your networking and your processing together, and we found that that close approximation has allowed us to move the data in and out of the processing from storage into processing faster, which actually helps the end user get their, you know, whatever it is they're trying to get to, you know, in a more rapid
manner,
which is helpful.
So your applications are really, you need strength in both floating point and integer operations, you might say.
Correct. That's correct.
And with respect to storage and networking, I mean, a lot of organizations are virtualizing those pieces of the what used to be the hardware architecture and rendering that in software. Is there a path to do that, or is that something that's part of your goals?
Yeah, that's part of the goals. I've certainly taken a look at that. We've been eyeing up software-defined networking. We use that some degree within the organization. We've kind of taken a look to see if that would help improve things in the future. How could that be beneficial? That certainly takes place within those converged architectures where we have that all together in one rack kind of thing. Typically that is handled through some kind of software-defined networking, which is helpful. So I think we're constantly on the exploration front there of what can we do from a networking perspective to make sure that we're able to handle the larger data sets, not only that we're generating, but that are also coming in from the industry.
Brad Wintermute is Deputy CIO of the Food and Drug Administration. I'm Tom Temin.
Booz Allen Hamilton. We're a world leader in applying modern technologies that are revolutionizing healthcare, protecting our nation against crippling cyber attacks, and making government more accessible to citizens by opening up its data and modernizing its digital systems. How do we do it? Through open, collaborative methods, such as DevOps and Agile, that bring technology and people together. Booz Allen Hamilton. Technology leadership. Agile innovation. Digital transformation. Learn more at boozallen.com.
We're speaking with Brad Wintermute. He's the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the FDA. And now that you have these data centers that are optimized in the way you describe, that leads to the question of cloud, which every federal agency is facing now. What is the cloud strategy? How far along are you in there?
So we've been working on that heavily over the last couple of years now, since Todd Simpson came on board in the summertime of 2015. It really accelerated our cloud presence. We've got capability to go into infrastructure as a service where it's really move the workload into the cloud. We've had to go through, just like other government agencies, and make sure that we have proper security controls. And so part of the concern with the FDA is we hold intellectual property data from our sponsors. So I kind of explain it where basically if you're a drug company, you've spent the last decade and a couple billion dollars developing a drug and you want to take it to market, you've got to turn that information over to the FDA so we can double check your math. And so we hold on to that pre-market intellectual property as part of our review process. So we have to make sure that whatever system we put that in is highly secure so that only the people who actually have authorization to get to that data can get to it, whether they're internal or external to the FDA. And so part of our cloud solution and direction is to make sure that we've got the proper security controls in the cloud, and going through the FedRAMP process gets us assurance that we've got kind of a base layer covered, because that's part of the FedRAMP kind of authorization. And then we, on top of that, go through and do our own assessment and put on additional security controls. And so we have done that for a couple different cloud vendors. So we have that capability. We have a few applications now running in cloud because we've been able to get that authority to operate at a high enough level to handle the data that we need. And expect us to push more to the cloud over the course of the next several years as business needs kind of dictate it. It's not just to go to cloud for cloud's sake, but go there where it makes sense.
Some agencies have discussed the idea of the Trusted Internet Connection, the TIC program, and making that as almost a virtual service so that it can be deployed in commercial clouds. Something you've looked at, or do you have similar types of architectures for security that make sure that you get what you need in terms of cyber?
Yeah, so I mean, right now, all of our data that comes in and out of the internet is going through a trusted internet connection. That is a bottleneck potentially down the road, and so it would be nice to have maybe a direct connection into a cloud vendor so that we would not have mixed traffic that would be general internet traffic and then cloud traffic. So that is a concern of ours because, you know, internally we're running a high bandwidth network. We don't want to hit a bottleneck at the tick just because we've got a lot of general internet connection type of traffic going alongside something that's really would, in today's world, be going in and out of our data center to get processing done. And so that is something we have explored. I think we'll continue to explore working with HHS in total. How can we do that as a shared service or together? Kind of tackle that beast and come up with it. So, you know, it's not just the FDA that would have that same situation. The other agencies within HHS also share that, you know, concern or need, I guess, of high bandwidth.
What is the state of the art now for the way agencies communicate with their clouds that might be distant? That is it virtual private networks the way or some other?
Yeah. We have a VPN that we set up so that all of our traffic is encrypted going to and from. And then we run algorithms within the cloud that keeps it encrypted. So, again, all in the name of security, for sure, to make sure that, you know, we're in control of that data and we know who can have access to it, who does not.
Brad Wintermute is Deputy CIO of the Food and Drug Administration. I'm Tom Temin.
Booz Allen Hamilton. We're a world leader in applying modern technologies that are revolutionizing healthcare, protecting our nation against crippling cyber attacks, and making government more accessible to citizens by opening up its data and modernizing its digital systems. How do we do it? Through open, collaborative methods, such as DevOps and Agile, that bring technology and people together. Booz Allen Hamilton, technology leadership, agile innovation, digital transformation. Learn more at boozallen.com.
We're speaking with Brad Wintermute. He's the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the FDA. And let's talk for a minute about shared services, because that goes along with cloud, or it seems to enter the same discussions for most agencies. And there is that press for agencies to get together and share services that they have in common. Does FDA get most of its shared services via Health and Human Services? Or maybe do you have other scientific brethren that might be able to match more closely what you do?
Well, today it is through HHS. So if we're having a shared service our human resource system or our financial system, those things come generally from the Health and Human Services. I think there could be some benefit to the point I was making on the cloud connection, where they could have that connection that goes a direct connect into some of the various cloud vendors that we could then just use right along, if you will, that would be beneficial into the future. So I think there's certainly areas where we could share services. Some of the other operating divisions, within HHS have special expertise, and maybe there's a way that we could use that expertise and benefit from, you know, what they're doing versus having to do whatever that is ourselves.
And let's talk about applications, because a lot of agencies, again, deal with applications that were written a long time ago, and at the same time, they need to deploy digital services. What's your strategy with respect to updating applications that might be ready for updating and for creating new applications as you go forward?
Yeah, so the good news is I don't have any really old stuff. So I don't have any COBOL or any of the mainframes. We aren't running any of that. So we've kind of taken that stuff years and years ago to modernize. I think the last mainframe application was phased out in about 2009 to 10, somewhere in there where it got phased out. But we do have applications that have been built over the course of many years and been added onto, on a kind of a ongoing basis, if you will. And so they've ended up being quite large and monolithic, if you will. They're kind of dedicated for a particular service, and they work well, but they do make it challenging when we need to make some type of change. There may be a new law, or maybe as one of our user fee commitments, we have to make some type of change. And going in and making those changes in those applications end up adding kind of a long lead time, mainly through the testing process, et cetera, just because there's a lot of functions that are all built in and kind of intertwined, over the course of years that they were, put together versus, all thought of up front. Obviously, when you do something like over 15 years, you might have some new things added in that end up making it more complicated anyway. So going forward, we're really focused on a kind of a decoupled approach. Instead of having tight coupling amongst the various services that are being performed for those through those applications, focusing on a microservice architecture with API coupling so that we can remove and plug in changes in module, kind of a modular fashion going forward to meet the regulatory changes that we might have from Congress, or needs that we have from a user fee commitment, or just a general need internally from a business need that, to be able to change something. And so going forward to kind of move from where we are to where that, future state is, we see the idea of building new modules, creating APIs on existing applications so that we can plug in the new module to do a particular function, and then, turn that function off in the existing application, and then kind of repeat that until you get to the point where maybe you don't need any of the old application, or it's just there from a repository perspective. And so we're on the front end of that. We've done a few of those, but that's kind of the trajectory that we expect to head.
That approach, I guess, requires your data to be separated from the applications and making the data its own independent asset, if you will.
Yeah, so you would end up with, really an API in to the data mart, right? So that you can pull or push data in through an API call versus having it tightly coupled together. Absolutely, and certainly something we're looking at doing.
We're speaking with Brad Wintermute. He's the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the FDA. And where do most ideas for new applications come from? Do they bubble up from the different food and drug people on the lines there?
Absolutely, yeah. We're certainly a business-driven, organization. So we work tightly with various centers or the business units within the FDA. And they're typically coming forward with a need saying, hey, we have a need to do X, or we need this to improve. How can we make this function better, throughput better, et cetera. And then based on that, we work together with them to come up with the actual solution and get it implemented.
What's the balance of work between FDA technical staff or CIO chain of command staff and contractors?
Well, we work really together, I would say seamlessly. That there's certainly an expertise that we need from contract and vendors. So often they'll provide us their expertise either in a particular product that we might be using, because, we have a set of products that we use internally to be able to manage the large volumes of data or what have you. And so typically we're going to need a specialized vendor expertise in that area. So they'll be on the team, and then we'll have employees who know more about the business and can kind of help articulate that to the vendor or the contractor to make sure that that's properly understood and the actual desired end result is achieved versus having some unintended consequence.
And presuming there is everything goes in Congress that with respect to authorizing and appropriating and so forth, and we have a 2018. What are your priorities for 2018 and looking ahead to 2019?
Yeah, so I think from a priority in 2018 really is a matter of shoring up a lot of our cloud offerings to make sure that we have clear pathways to get into cloud. We have them, but I guess maybe use those clear pathways. I think that's part of the priority right now. Certainly some focus on internal optimization of our processes and really how the services are requested out of the Office of Information and Technology, which is our IT office, making sure that we're moving more towards a fee-for-service model. We have a cost allocation model that basically does an allocation of cost based on what we spend each year, and we're trying to get that closer to a, if you use it, I mean, like, you pay for what you use. The business units would like to see that. So therefore, if you're using four items of Microsoft Excel, you're paying for four, not for five, because we thought you might use five and budgeted five for the year. So trying to kind of improve on that, I think, is helpful to really make sure that our costs that are being charged, because the OIM gets the funding from the centers, make sure that those charges are as accurate as possible. It's certainly a focus to make, in this budget climate, everybody wants to make sure that we're not overpaying. Like, we don't want to buy the five Excel licenses if we only need four.
Sounds like the Megabyte Act is not far from your mind these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I on a daily basis, I think we have some discussion about the Megabyte Act and really focusing on our software inventory and making sure that we're managing all software procurement. I am the designated software manager for the FDA, so my team manages the procurement and authorizations of all the software that's purchased to make sure that we're, maximizing our ability to use, the shared contracts where possible, and we certainly do that to maximize our benefit to cost, right? So make sure that we're minimizing our costs overall.
Anything else we need to know about goings-on at FDA?
Well, I mean, I think we've covered quite a wide gambit of information here. It gives you a good overview of what we're doing. We are continuing to improve things. I think that's the benefit, and I think we really are the point that I want everybody to take away. I really think that, we're positioning the agency to take advantage of the advances in technology that's happening in the marketplace today through artificial intelligence, machine learning, and everything. That's going to generate a huge amount of data that when those new drug applications or what have you come into the FDA, they have to be able to be reviewed. And so part of what we're doing is laying the groundwork to be able to process those larger data sets, larger amounts of data are being transmitted in for the FDA to process. We'll be in good shape to handle that.
Brad Wintermute is Deputy CIO of the Food and Drug Administration. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to the IT Modernization Month, sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. IT Modernization.